Hi, everyone, and welcome to Play on K, the Korean drama podcast with Emily
and Raquel.
And this is a show where we take a K-drama, we watch it two episodes at a time, and then we get together here every week to talk about it.
Yeah, this week we watched episodes 5 and 6 of My Demon.
Yeah! They were good ones. I was into it. I have a lot of qualms, but I was into it.
Okay, exactly how I feel. I was going to say, but no, you're correct. They were good ones. I had a great time. Gu-won, I was kind of done with for most of the, least episode 5. I struggle with the whole, I've realized my feelings, but now I will do everything in my power to push away the person I have feelings for. And I will make myself very unlikable in the process. And that's just, it's a bad look, sir.
It's giving emotionally stunted.
Yep.
You're 200 years old. We don't need to be working through your emotional needs right now. Probably should have done that 175 years ago, perhaps.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. Should have done that like 175 years ago. Also pretends to know so much about humans and emotion and then is so emotionally unavailable and problematic. But still finds time to be jealous, for sure. Okay.
I feel like it's acceptable, one, because I'm still on the ship and I'm clouded. My judgment is fully clouded by liking him, but also because we have such a perfect female lead who sees right through all that bullshit. She's like, this is not escaping me. That there is one moment where she's like, I want to see, does he like me or does he like me not? And she goes to his office and he's like, I do not. And she's like, okay, message received. Literally next day, he's like, but maybe I don't know. I'm going to act crazy all day long. And she's like, okay, so you're in love with me and I'm going to push that. And yeah. I fully supported that. I liked that for her.
Yeah, I liked her. I liked her vibe about it because she did everything right as far as, you know, she checked in. Where are we at? What's going on? And then when she got nothing from him, like you said, she was just kind of like, whatever, message received. And then she was pretty unshakable for the most part, which I really appreciate that she wasn't still like, but my feelings, where she was like, okay, well, those feelings will be useless to me if you aren't on board with this. So I'm going to go ahead and move on. And I love a move on. I think we mentioned last week that if someone gets rejected too many times, I reach a point where I'm like, girl, weaponize your feelings.
Find literally anyone else and propose to them.
Yep.
There. Now that I've said that, I'm like, there were too many things happening for Dodohee. I want more for her, but not in the way that they gave us more in these episodes where she proposes to a complete stranger. And it's like, I don't get that. I don't like that. I understand that you're trying to move quickly. You do have a full year to get married. I don't think you need to do it literally today with a strange man that you don't know. Seems unsafe.
Who is kind of creepy. He just gave creep vibes. I know he was supposed to. We were supposed to have cringe moments. And the cringe was fine because we knew that he was temporary. He was but a stepping stone to add conflict. But just the vibes of the improving her value being the very first thing, what he led with immediately, I was like, you gotta find literally any marry your girl, marry your cousin.
Marry your goddamn cousin. And I get why she didn't. But
yes,
she should have. A little bit.
Yeah. I do really want to talk about that because I, as someone who is unfortunately very tentatively on the cousin or was on the cousin ship, she shut me down in the exact way I needed her to, because the only thing that could have gotten me off the ship was her confirming that she thinks of him like a cousin, right? Because if she was like, I also don't think of you as a cousin, I could have gotten away with it. I could have stayed on the ship a little bit longer, the obviously sinking ship where he is also very likely a murderer. Let's talk about that also too as well in a minute. But yes, the only thing that could have gotten me off of that ship was her being like, I think of you as family. And then she said it. And I said, okay, you put a nail in that coffin for me. So I can appreciate that. I still think he's so cute. I think he's so, so cute. But, and their chemistry is great, but they're cousins. It's a cousin chemistry. And she confirmed it with her words that that in her mind is her cousin. So now it will never work.
Yeah, it's a tough spot because I do still root for him a little bit in my heart. Being like, I thought of you as a cousin once too as well. And now I don't. Because we are adults, our relationship has changed significantly over the years. We have worked together as colleagues and as adults, and I don't see you that way, although I once did. It is that it's a toxic trope that I don't support, but yet I'm doing it to her anyways and being like, she'll come around. But I respect that she's like, I do not have the time or the patience to think about this at all. I'm not even going to consider coming around and dating my cousin. You are and will always be my cousin in my head. So it's going to be a no for me, dog.
He's like, yeah,
I hear you and that's valid. My heart is sad, but it was, yeah, a good ending. And it's fine because he's a murderer.
Yeah. Very solid chance. I think they've done an interesting thing with his character where I am still convinced that he could be potentially very dangerous. And I'm still very convinced that he is very likely the murderer, and everything else that they've thrown at us is a red herring, a complication to the plot, right? Like, who could it be? Who done it? Type deal. And they have our eyes off of him so that they can focus on literally everyone else who behaves outwardly much more toxically and inwardly, because we don't actually have proof of this. This is just a feeling, a vibe, a K-drama veteran prediction, right? Because there's a few things that are making it hard for the theory to hold up. The first being, he did show up as her emergency contact. Like, he didn't just, like, wait it out for her to
He would have gotten there after she died.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Maybe he waited
it out. He was way late, yeah. He was 2 minutes late, which is close, but he was late.
Huh.
And that's tough. That's a toughie. I think the thing for me is literally only a feeling, so I'm really excited if you have more on your list.
It's like, it's nothing definitive, and it is explainable. Like, they've not given me anything, you know, solid where I'm like,
yeah,
evidence that he's not a murderer, which to me is more evidence that he is a murderer. Like, he has to prove to me that he's innocent. He's guilty until proven innocent in my brain.
And
but
oh, sorry.
There's just little things like his expression seeing them cuddle. I guess we could explain it away, like when Gu-won was comforting her, we could explain it as him being disappointed that she seemingly survived, or we could see it as, shit, I'm in love with her.
Which I think is the way you're supposed to take it, mm-hmm. is seeing the woman that he loves being comforted by another man, that I'm 2 minutes too late, but not to her death, 2 minutes too late to being the hero, being the white knight.
Yeah. I do think that one of the things kind of about it that has me throwing him a bone about the time with which he arrived at her place, again, it's proof of nothing. Just like a little thought of, okay, of course the dude who is a demon got there first. I know he doesn't have powers necessarily, but he maybe is the only person that could have made it there on time.
Because he doesn't have morals. He was ripping through those streets like other people did not exist.
Yes.
That's not okay.
Yeah, he's the devil though, so he could get there on time.
So Kun is like, I gotta stop at a red light, man. That's like, I'm gonna get there, but legally.
Yeah,
I can see that. I think my thing is the killer getting away, which is such a minor, like, okay, how many emergency stairwells are in this building? Probably a lot. It looks like a 60-story building, but you guys are on one stairwell. The elevators seem to be shut down. How did this guy just leave? He walked past you all and was like, excuse me. Good night to you all. Like I said, he probably just went down another emergency exit, but it still felt like if Sokun was in cahoots with the assassin, he could have made space for him to get away, right?
Yes. I just had a curious moment because I was going to check for it while I was watching the show and then I forgot. So there's a part where the killer, the stalker and killer, is messaging someone called Abraxas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who we are led to believe is whichever family member has hired a hit person. And there is a part where it shows him messaging Abraxas, and then it shows each respective family member checking their phone. And I was going to see if the next scene that Sokun was in was... I was going to see if he was checking his phone or if there was like something there, right? If they were going to drop a little hint toward who I have decided is the murderer.
I don't think so. You could be totally right, but I also missed it if they did, because I think they have fully doubled down on Jisokun is just another love interest. He is not a murderer. These guys are the murder suspects. So, and one of them's a literal murderer. We saw him murder someone. These guys are bad. They are murderers, so they're going to look at their phones. But no one else does, so it's totally fine. It's definitely one of those two guys. And it feels like such a red herring to spell it out that much, but I think that's what they're going for with Sokun as the nice, very lovely and protective cousin, being like, there is no suspicion on him at any point in time. Okay, he's a good boy.
He's the one that's on her team.
He's the only one on her team. He's said that multiple times. I adored the conversation that he had with Jung-gu-won, where they're in like one of her many bedrooms. And he's like, you need to tell me what your relationship is. And Jung-gu-won was like, actually, I don't. Women have rights. And Sokun is like, she's not going to tell me because she's secretive. She's a sneaky little gal. She loves her secrets. And he's like, that's great. I love that for her. I support that fully. So
yeah, if she hasn't told you, she must have a reason.
So are we done here? Oh, so you just support the demon at that point. So
yeah,
I'm telling you, Raquel, come on board. There's so much room on this ship.
I, around that time, was starting to inch toward the demon ship, where I was... He drove me insane through episode 5, but through episode 6, I was a little bit more on board with him. I was a little bit more... He was done constantly running from his feelings. He's still causing problems, but they're in character. It's no surprise that he put a pause to the wedding to be like, I will not promise anything for the rest of my life. Contracts are very serious. Take it back.
This show has mastered comedy that feels like it's not supposed to be comical. And that was one of those moments where you're like, this feels like it's just supposed to be an in-character thing that he does, where maybe another actor even would have taken that part more seriously and been like, look, we are calling off the wedding if I don't get my way. But there's just something so charming about this man being like, hold on, pause, soft pause. I do not promise such things. It just makes you laugh and smile. And I feel like they do that at every turn. Like when he wags his finger at Sokun when they're driving away, it's so silly and it feels unscripted. I don't know if it was, but it just feels like they got such a charming guy to play this character.
They did. He's charming like a devil.
He's charming, like a little devil. A tricksy little devil guy.
I love a finger wag so much.
He does it so well.
While we're speaking about the actor, do we want to talk about the thirst scene? The, like, shower thirst scene? Do we care? Like, do we care about making mention of that? All I want to say is, so, obviously, very, very good work. Very good work. But also, I get really worried for the hydration level of actors, right? When I see stuff like that, because I know that that is, like, a tactic that is used for idols and actors, and not just in, like, Korean media, obviously. Like, it's a human body thing to dehydrate to get, like, abs to stand out and stuff. But I am very aware of it, in particular with Korean media, because I watch so much of it, or, like, consume so much of it. And I'm just like, have you had water today?
No, they won't let him drink any of the shower water. They are like, you will not. He is dying.
Don't get this
shower
in your mouth.
It's such mixed feelings, because you're like, fan service. The fan is me. I'm enjoying. You've done great work for yourself, and I'm so proud of you. You look great. But also, have you eaten this week? Have you eaten any food at all this week? Probably not.
Probably not. You were prepping for this scene.
I do hate that. Like you said, it is. I don't think you can have too much food, but you definitely can't have, like, any water within 24 hours if you want your abs to look like that.
Yeah, specifically that. Because it's one thing to have a nice body. I just want to start glorifying bodies that look hydrated, right? Where it's like, we love the abs. They look so great. And you've done really hard work to, like, get to where you are at physically. But that hard work should not be severe levels of dehydration. But it's not your fault, sir. It's just the industry in general. Like, I would love to see healthy bodies that are in awesome shape that are also not clearly super dehydrated.
You will not. Because Look at that man. He is peak performance. You can't have water to get to peak performance. It's so hard. Because he looks so good, Raquel.
He looks so good. It was such a good fan service. They did such a good job. And then they had it roll over into, obviously he didn't take the time to button up his shirt before he went and caught Dorohi in his office. Why would he do that?
Why would he do that? He just threw some clothes on and wandered out. Oh, that kind of segues into talking just really quick about Sword Girl, whose name I still haven't learned. Mm-mm. Sword Lady. Mm-hmm. I'm almost triggered by the flashback that he had, the dream where he was in love with a sword girl. I was like, if you add her to the love triangle in this way, I will actually throw myself off a cliff.
Yeah.
I will die on this hill.
I'll go with you. We'll hold hands and we'll go down together. I had the exact same thought, where I know, because it's a K-drama, almost 100% that is not her. And it's going to be like, he fell in love with some incarnation of Dorohi. But it's just almost. There is a non-zero chance that they, in a much more impactful way, add Sword Girl to the love triangle. And I will lose my mind. I will lose my mind.
And I think it's extra frustrating, both because I don't like her, period, but also because she has served zero purpose in 6 episodes. And so to finally be like, she serves a purpose. Here you go. You guys wanted her to do something. Here she is. Her purpose is that she was his love in a past life. It's what I asked for and not at all what I wanted, right? That feels like the most frustrating part, is that I want her to have a storyline. But if that's the one they choose for us, I will self-immolate. Like, I don't know what else to do. I can't. I won't watch this show anymore if it becomes about her. because I hate her so much.
I don't like her at all either. And yeah, I agree. She doesn't really do anything for the show. She's mostly just surly. She's very surly about not having the level of attention that she expects. And yeah, I just...
That's it.
She just doesn't add anything. And I know that they'd put her in here for a purpose. And I expected that purpose just to be... obsessed with him. Up to this point, they have given me no evidence of anything else. To kind of be almost the counterbalance to Dorohi, to be like, look, he has no interest in romantic dalliances with human beings. I don't know. Why did I call it a dalliance? I don't like it.
It would have been cool if they had a sword fight. A little sword fight between Dorohi and Sword Girl. Like, I would actually start supporting her as a character if her role was to physically fight Dorohi. I'd be here for it. Why not?
Oh,
that's very Mr. Sunshine. It's something that I've been missing for a long time.
Yeah,
I just want female duels.
Yeah, show me two females swinging swords at each other, or do not play this game of love triangles.
Yeah, I don't need that. I need physical fights.
Or make them best friends, but I don't get the feeling that's going to happen, and they have not endeared Sword Girl to me enough to really root for it. I'm not out here, like, craving a friendship between them specifically. I just love female friendship. I just like women supporting women, so.
But Sword Girl would have a lot of growth to do before I could ever see that happening. It doesn't seem like it's in the cards for them. And that's fine. I don't need more from her, is all I'm saying. I take it back. I thought I wanted more from her. I thought I wanted a character. I take it all back. Give us nothing. Give us less of her.
Please. Thank you.
Should we take a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. A little copy-co break. A little instant coffee break. Just kidding. We're taking a magic mind break.
Even better. The real best. Deal.
Yes. I've been using Magic Mind, as you guys know, for a couple months now. I've really, really been liking it. I see marked improvements in my focus and my energy levels every time I take it, which is every day right now. I really enjoy having it be part of my ritual with my coffee now. So I have a cup of coffee. And then as soon as I finish my coffee, I have my magic mind. And then I very immediately, in a way that I've never felt with just my cup of coffee, within 15 minutes, I can feel an effect where I have more energy and more focus on what I need to do any given day. And I really, really appreciate it. I have really been enjoying it.
That's so exciting. Yeah, I heard that you were talking to our friends about it this weekend, because we know one of them also has severe ADHD like you. And he was like, that sounds perfect. That's exactly what I need. Because it's hard. It's hard to focus.
It is. It's hard to focus. And everyone has, you know, varying levels of access to whatever they need to focus. And for me, it's such an easy entry to what I need. Like, I feel great when I take it. And it's, I don't know, it's just been really, really good for me personally and my experience with needing that extra boost to my energy and focus levels.
Oh, if you are ready to try Magic Mind, use our link, magicmind.com/playonk, and our code playonk, so that they know that we sent you. And then bring it on back. Let us know that you've tried it and the improvements that you see with it. We'd be so excited.
Yeah, let me know.
Okay, for now, back to the show. Do we want to talk about some of the laugh out loud funny moments? Because those are a lot of my notes.
Yes. So I had one that really got me. The rest were just like fun giggle moments. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you took notes, because I can't remember a whole lot of them. But there is one that stood out to me, and it was the clapping competition at the wedding.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Secretary Shin and Buck Yu got me. It got me good.
That's fair.
I love that they hate each other.
But it's so, like, I ship them. Like, they, by the me end too. Of the show, they will be together, obviously.
It's a charged rivalry, for sure.
And I love it. Oh, I am a sucker for side characters, like, getting together. And this is a good one. This is a solid, like, all the tropes are there and more, because he doesn't have a lot going for him, and she is a strong woman who has everything going for her. Like, I love that they're both stable in their careers. They're both confident. They both puppy dog these even stronger, more confident young people. It's a perfect pairing, Raquel. That's a good one. The one that I laughed the hardest at, which I don't think you were supposed to laugh at, was the double proposal.
I don't think you're supposed to laugh. Maybe. I couldn't, because I was too busy panicking. I was in a full, I wanted to push both of those men off the balcony. I was so mad.
I laughed so hard for so long. It's, what an odd choice for 1 hour after a woman that you both love. It's genuine. A woman that you both love was dangled over her balcony. She is now on that balcony dealing with those feelings. And you think it's an appropriate time to introduce marriage.
Right now? Right now?
It's not.
It's such an inappropriate time. What got me, though, because that's bad. That is actually the worst of it, but what really made my skin crawl was the K-drama instrumental pause that they have to take. But it's not a pause, because everyone's still, like, blinking. Like, there's signs of life, you know? But it's a pause in the sense that in real life, no one behaves the way these two men were behaving, where they were standing shoulder to shoulder, hands out, mirror images of each other, absolute mirror images, for the longest, an era, an eon passed.
It was so long.
It went on for so long, and this woman who has just experienced one of the worst traumas of her life, on top of, I mean, and this is someone who's had a lot of trauma. Her parents died in an exploding car wreck, and then her adopted parent was murdered. And then she also was kidnapped at one point, and there was another attempted murder. Like, she has had, a demon has been following her around for a while now. Yeah, she has had terrible trauma. And they said, we'll wait as long as it takes you to pull yourself together while we stare you down, waiting for your answer. What the fuck? Excuse?
Oh, it's almost as long as the pause when she's literally dangling 60 stories above the ground.
And we're just holding hands.
And we're just holding hands. I don't think this show is supposed to be that funny. Are you supposed to laugh as she's, like, finally saved and she's probably like, can you pull me up? And he's like, please. Nah, dog.
Not strong enough for that.
I did not think this far ahead. This was the entire plan. I don't know what to do. Like, pull her up. That's what you do.
Don't just dangle until you get stabbed.
And he did. He did dangle until he got stabbed. Both of those scenes. Why? Are they supposed to be funny? You have to laugh, because otherwise you just do what you did and panic.
Yeah, I wish I had just laughed and enjoyed it. I couldn't. I was so uncomfy.
Maybe I just have started to see this show as a comedy, so everything is a lot more funny to me. But I think especially the office scenes have really reinforced this show's comedic touches. That man, Jung-Woo Won, shines in an office environment. You trap a full demon lord man in a tiny cubicle, he's got nothing to do but make laughs. And yeah, it's so his thing. Good. He just fully pushes a coworker into another room to be like,
that was so good.
That's so good.
That was brilliant. I wish I had had that kind of inspiration strike when I was in an office job that necessitate, I never want to go back there, not even for this. But if I had ever had a moment where I had thought, just push it, I had a conference room right behind me, right behind me. If any of my coworkers had done that, I could have easily just boop, 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 put them away. Just put them away for now.
They're going in the timeout box. The timeout fishbowl. So funny. And then the weird rant about instant coffee between these two men being like, it was started by slaves and it's made for slaves. And then this other guy being like, and I'm in. Like, I'm fully invested. So weirdly funny. They also, those two have such good chemistry because they also have the love book scene.
Yes, yeah. Oh, it's so good. I also, when he had his name tag, I mean, we all knew he was about to snap that, but I also was like, never let anyone pull your name tag that far out. Don't let him hold it. Don't let that monster hold it. He is going to snap you so hard.
He's going to hit you right in the face. Oh my God. That, okay. Then Secretary Shin walks in and a homeboy who's obsessed with coffee, whose name I don't know, gets so scared that he starts speaking a different language on the phone. It's so weird and so clever to just be like, I'm on the phone with a client in a different country. So
yeah. So don't talk to me.
Don't talk to me. I am bilingual, but goodbye. And then Secretary Shin fights Bokyu. Like, it's the perfect arc to just a day in the office.
Yes. It's the perfect, like you said, we can now think of it as a comedy because they have counterbalanced the fact that she is being hunted with scenes of her being, of just like everyone making very fun chaos, just delightful chaos in an office.
In an office. Delightful little chaos. Except Bokyu, I am a little bit like, this show has turned a lot of tropes on its head, especially like her proposing and him shutting her down. That feels like 2016 would have never happened. She would have proposed. He would have said yes. That's how their marriage would have started. Okay, we don't need two more episodes to drag it out. But I love that more modern dramas are like, we see the tropes, we're going to use them, but we're going to twist them on their heads first to make it a little more funny. One that I want someone to twist on its head is the guy being a food delivery man, walking around with his helmet on and being stopped by security at the first floor and being like, you cannot go up to the offices with your full-ass helmet on.
Take your helmet off. Are you kidding me?
That is,
you have to verify yourself.
You cannot just go wander around upstairs with your helmet on. Absolutely not.
Go check in to freaking reception and then come back and see us with your helmet off once we know that reception has seen your face also too as well. Why are you here?
You can't just wander around. I don't know how these delivery drivers just keep sneaking into K-dramas. And this one tried to throw the trope on its head by being like, it wasn't a murderer. But I think we had this same gripe with, Love and Contract, where it's like,
yes,
a woman is being hunted and we're making jokes out of a potential assassin being in her presence. Isn't that funny how scared she would be? It's not. It's simply not.
It's bad.
Let's make the joke that Bokyu tries to do that and immediately gets stopped by any security man in this building.
Yeah. Gets tackled at the door. And then we as viewers see him get tackled and we're like, they got him. And then it's like, no, it's Bokyu. And he's able to confirm his identity and everything's fine and normal and it doesn't involve a woman scared for her life.
At any point.
Yes, that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun.
That's fun for the family. Okay. Just do that. Oh, we'll get there. But I did like every and all of the office scenes. I liked the tarot card reading.
Yeah, that was fun. I didn't see a tarot card reading coming. And then when it did come, I was like, that's a little spice to add to your like angels and demons type. I guess specifically demons type, I don't know, like themed atmosphere. Put a tarot card reading in there. Help it make, or have that help her make decisions, even though it doesn't because it's very up in there. I don't know if she got something from that. I would like...
It's hard because it felt like a very accurate tarot card reading where
yes.
instead of the typical TV style tarot card readings, and hell if I know much about tarot, but on TV it's usually like, today you will meet the love of your life, and if you do not kiss them by the end of the day, bad things will happen. And you're like, I don't think tarot works that way. This homegirl nailed it where she is like, here's the most fortune cookie thing you've ever heard in your life. Does it help? I don't know. I was like, I know everything that's going on in Dorohi's life. None of this makes sense to me. Yeah, she seems to be getting it.
Yeah. Like, what's the beginning? What's the ending? What door is closing? What door is opening? What's, I don't know.
This is a great representation of a tarot reading.
Yeah. That's me every, because I have gotten tarot card readings just from like friends and stuff before. And I have had the moment of liking having it done and being like, oh, I can see how that would apply to this or whatever, right? When it's being applied to my own inner monologue. But unfortunately, that I want to believe in the supernatural more than I actually believe in the supernatural. So tarot card for me is more just like interesting perspective than it is like actual supernatural indicator of the future or state of mind of a person.
That's fair.
And so I, exactly what you said, where it's like, it was spot on. And maybe if it was like my tarot card reading, I could have been like, yes, I know what that means. But like you said, even us as viewers knowing Dorohi's current experiences up till now, it's like when it's for someone else, I'm like, I don't know.
I have no clue. This is talking about, which to your point about it kind of falls in line with what they've done with the religious tropes where they have a demon, but our listener Josh kindly explained to us that yes. the lore in the beginning of the show did say they're more like guardians. So there's not guardian angels and guardian demons. There's just a guardian, and that's this guy. And he's more tricksy than anything. But it seems like that helps the show kind of toe the line between Christianity and make-believe. And maybe that's, they're re-emphasizing that with the tarot readings and being like, yeah, we did a quick Google on what tarot readings are, but we're not going to give you a whole, like, explanatory, it's not going to be a crazy new thing added to the show. It is a little bit of tarot and a little bit of make-believe. And that is the lore of everything on My Demon. And I can respect that. I can respect yeah. the lack of commitment. Because it's your magical world, writers. Why would you go deep into Christianity or into tarot or into any other like belief system? Yeah. No. Half-ass it.
Yes. Build your own mythos off of the back of existing mythos.
Combine a bunch of them if you want. I like it. I like it a lot. Can I ask you if there is a little bit of Christianity to this demon thing? Is the cross on her wrist upside down or is it just facing her? I think it's upside down.
I honestly don't know because I would think that it's just facing her. But I based on the opening scene when he first showed his cross on his arm, or on his wrist before it transferred to Dorohi 200 years later or so, I think it was supposed to be a big reveal that it was an upside down cross when he revealed it. And then, yeah, I think it's supposed to be upside down on her because otherwise it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense that a demon was sporting a right side up cross necessarily. But the necklace he wears is a right side up cross.
Oh, that's so fair. Christians, get in the comments. We want to know if you put a cross on your wrist, which way is it supposed to face? Because it seems really tricky. It seems like a really tricky placement.
Yeah. Yeah, because if she's just sitting or standing normally, probably it's upside down. Who's to say? If it's a personal thing, which for her it isn't, she didn't choose
that. She's marked by a demon, so it's probably upside down. But did you have something you were going to say? I'm so sorry if I cut you off.
No, I didn't. I was going to ask you what other notes you have, because you come prepared, and I come with just opinions, with just the riz, and that's all.
Okay, I have 2/3 more notes. One is about the wedding. A quick shout out to her getting an icy on her wedding day.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. I was not a bridezilla, but I think I would throw a fit if somebody tried to hand me a drink that blue in my wedding dress.
Can you imagine if you smiled for the pictures and there was just like a sheen of blue on your teeth?
No, because I would never.
Just like stained your lips just a little bit, but just the parts the inside. Where the straw was touching.
Like you just ate a fruit roll up on your wedding day. No, keep that away from me. Don't even make those in this room. I hated that. But then 2 seconds later, absolutely loved her conversation with her mom, Madame Ju.
Oh, that was probably my favorite part of the whole 2 episodes that we watched today. That was so beautiful.
It was so beautiful. It felt very much like it was for somebody else. Like I could see another person being a wreck, being fully in tears watching that. And so I just like teared up, choked up. But it was beautiful for everyone. Anyone could have appreciated that scene. Oh, so cute. Okay, but we have to end it on a really dark note.
Okay, let's go.
They decide to tail her cousin, Dogyeong.
Yeah, it's like her older brother, quote unquote.
Oh, so like
it's his son. Yeah, I think it's like her nephew a little bit.
Okay.
Kind of, yep. But in a creepy way.
They tail No Dogyeong and she's like, okay, this is what we're doing today. We're going to tail that guy. I'm going to wear 5-inch heels. We got this. Badass queen. They go to the subway station, immediately get caught. Like, he closes the locker. And why did they not at that point be like, and then he's going to turn around? Why is that not your cue to hide?
They're so bad at this.
I was so mad, like inappropriately angry at their poor, sloppy detective work.
Yeah, sloppy is a good word for it. Absolutely amateur hour out here.
I was mad. And we got a kiss out of it, which is like fun. I'm glad that they did a fake kiss at the wedding. That was neat because nobody wants the male and female lead's first kiss to be forced upon them by literally everyone else believing in their fake marriage. That would not be romantic at all.
That's what is romance, though, is if your murderous little nephew is about to catch you. So that is when we want the kiss, is in a photo booth when he's about to pop in and catch your ass.
It's just so spicy, Raquel. Okay, I guess it's not romantic, but it's spicy to be like, they're gonna be caught. But they kiss to get out of it. That is classic K-drama. Like, you just, if you make out, nobody can look at your face. That's the rules. So he will never recognize either of them. It's a flawless plan. And I support.
I see no issues.
I see no issues. And they couldn't have pretended that time because obviously he would look at them long enough to be sure that it wasn't, that they were real kissing, but never look at them long enough to know who they were.
No fake smooching.
No fake smooching. This is a real smooch.
Not during subterfuge.
So it's a flawless plan and I loved it and I'm excited to see how it turns out.
I will say on that note, I am getting a little burnt out on the powers conveniently not working. I just wish there was some kind of more solid explanation, and maybe they'll come in because there's been a couple times where there were like hiccups where the powers didn't work when he grabbed her wrist and tried to use them. But there was the explanation for one that he couldn't picture the person's face, so they must have been wearing not their face. And so we got an explanation for one, but we don't always get an explanation. It's just convenient because we want them to kiss instead of teleport out. And that's fine if we want to use like a plot device to make it so they have to kiss. I don't want it to be so... I don't want to have to super, super suspend my disbeliefs that, like, his very powerful magic that works pretty much every time he grabs her wrist, except when, I don't know, when he doesn't, when there's a set established rule, like criteria that he's unable to meet, or when we want a steamy kiss, like,
when she's dangling off the balcony, impossible to use the powers until they fall.
Yeah. Or even like at the very, very beginning of the show in episode one or maybe two, when, no, it was one, when the powers don't work and so he has to jump off the bridge or whatever, right? And so that makes me think eventually we'll get some kind of explanation for the periodic lapses, but it's just so convenient every time it happens and we only every once in a while have an explanation for why it doesn't work. It seems like it was a 100% hit rate until recently.
That's fair. I have no qualms as long as it keeps making for steamy moments. Like,
give me the smooches.
Give me the smooches. I don't care. I'm fine with it. No notes. But you're right. You do have a point. Once you're fully on board the ship, your qualms will disappear.
That's the magic. That's where the magic
That's
is.
That's the magic.
It's on the ship.
It's on the ship. All aboard, buddy. Fair. You make good points. All right, let's wrap up there. This is a long one.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. If you have anything that you want to email us about, you can reach us at playonkpodcast@gmail.com.
You can always find all of our past episodes, leave comments on the episodes, sign up for our newsletter, and check out our affiliates like Soulbox and Blueberry Podcast Hosting. And I think there's one more. On our website at playonk.com.
Yes. We also have a Patreon. You can find the link at our website, or you can go straight to patreon.com/playonk. We've got a couple offerings up there that you can check totally out, and it helps us, it helps support the podcast. Whatever level that you decide to join at is great for us, but you can also get access to stuff like an extra like 30 minutes-ish of us just chit-chatting about whatever comes to mind, maybe something cool in the future. and video content as well. So yeah, check that totally out.
Yeah, we also are on social media. We have a new producer. Shout out to Matt, who is getting on top of our social media presence. He's so much better at it than we've ever been. So find us on Instagram at @PlayOnKPodcast. On X, previously Twitter, at @PlayOnK, and on TikTok, at @PlayOnK_Emily.
Yes, and I think that's just about...
You gotta go subscribe, or leave a comment, or anything.
Oh, yes. The freest way to help the podcast, which is rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you listen to us. It helps other K-drama podcast listeners find us.
Yeah, that's for sure everything. So we will see you next week for the next two episodes of... My Demon.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Ba-da-ba-ba.